Hello and welcome to the latest edition of the Office Block podcast with me, Paul Dillon. You can find us at theofficeblock.org, on Twitter at the OB Tweets, or on Facebook at The Office Block. Very happy to be joined this morning by Ellen Cunningham to talk all about game workers and Game Workers Unite. Hey, Ellen.
Hey, Paul. Thanks for having me on.
Welcome to the show.
Oh, thanks very much.
Great to have you.
Great to be here.
We're going to be talking all about Game Workers Unite Ireland and about Game Workers Unite internationally in a moment. But just can you tell us a little bit about yourself, Ellen, and how you've got involved in the games industry?
Sure. So I'm Ellen Cunningham. I'm a game developer based in Dublin. And I'm specifically a game writer. And I've been writing in the industry for 2.5 years now. Before that, I was studying game design at TU Dublin. And basically, I got involved in Game Workers Unite Ireland, for which I'm the chapter coordinator for Ireland. I was attending the Game Developers Conference in San Francisco this last year and attended a couple of roundtable talks and some panel discussions as well, and really just heard some things mentioned and issues in the workplace mentioned there that I'd already heard here from other people. And I heard a lot of people talking about how they were dealing with it by kind of forming these grassroots movements, which Game Workers Unite is itself, but some more like local level collective like organizing. And they were really doing really well, and it made a lot of people who were there feel like they had someone to talk to, and they felt like less like they were totally isolated dealing with this kind of stuff alone. And I just thought, why hasn't that happened here essentially? And so I just thought, like, you know, someone got to do it, and there I was.
And that someone is you, and you're the coordinator of quite a big committee, and we'll talk a little bit about the work that you're doing, and I think it's quite exciting, and I'm looking forward to chatting to you about that. But can you tell us a little bit about how you got so interested in games in the first place? Because you're a game developer and a game writer, but is this something that you've been interested in all your life? Like, were you playing computer games when you were really small? How long have you been involved in this?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, I've been, my first kind of really memorable game kind of experience when I was young was like sitting on my mom's lap and her giving me an unplugged in controller to a Nintendo 64 and acting like I was playing Ocarina of Time when I was young. And
Nintendo 64. Was that a tape game? Did you like plug in a tape?
Yeah, it was like a cartridge based game console. Yeah, absolutely.
Brilliant.
And oh, I'm feeling my age now.
And it's completely transformed now. So when I go back to when I was, a teenager playing games, you had, you know, Sonic the Hedgehog, you had I was in that era of the Sega Mega Drive, show my age, before that you had the Atari and the Atari 2600, but now games has just moved, it's beyond all of that. It's a huge industry, twice the size of the film industry globally. It's a massive, massive sector. So can you tell me a little bit about, you know, your transition then from someone who's interested in games and started playing off games, and did you start developing this idea that you might have this as a career?
Yeah, I mean, well, my first steps into like a media adjacent industry was like I went from my Leaving Cert and studied film and broadcasting, which I really loved. And then partway through my course, I left to do permanent work in the VFX in the film industry, doing VFX work for different studios. And myself had like quite a few experiences there of like workplace issues as well, actually. And then while I was working there, I saw some people who I was working alongside with working on their own little game projects. And I was just so interested. I was just hanging on to them, driving them crazy.
So that was like a light bulb moment, you said.
Absolutely, yeah.
Yeah.
That I could, oh my God, I can do this. People can do this. So absolutely. So at that point, I was in quite a lucky, privileged position that I was able to go back to college and study game design at TU Dublin with some truly amazing lecturers there who were industry professionals.
That's a degree course.
Yeah.
What's the name of the course?
Game design.
Game design.
Yeah. And that's what I studied. It involves quite a lot of different aspects, but focusing primarily on designing all kinds of games. Like, people often think of games now, they associate it with video games, but it also includes everything from like board games, tabletop card games, sports.
Yeah.
Although there is less of doing that in the course.
People who are involved in games are passionate about this.
Oh yeah, like massive. It's an industry that's heavily associated with massive amounts of passion that people have for it. And that's fantastic and really inspiring for a lot of people, and it creates a really amazing sense of community between like all kinds of different devs. But it has its downsides as well. Like that passion that developers have can be sort of leveraged against them to kind of get people to invest more than they should in projects. Or, you know, I mean, can you really call something success if it's coming at the sacrifice of your own personal physical health and mental health? You know, it's pretty complicated. Yeah, but there's no question that this is an industry just filled with some of the most passionate people for their work that I've ever seen.
And I'm interested in that because, look, you know, you've described it really well, the kind of passion that people have, the interest that people have, and perhaps maybe the potential for exploitation that can go with that. Would that be fair to say that there's, if you're really passionate about this industry, you want to work in it, you want to be involved in this?
Massively, massively. And people will put, 110% into everything they do. Like one really small kind of taster example of this is that I don't know if you've ever heard of Global Game Jam.
Okay.
So that is a music jam when you get together and play, with different musicians. This is like game developers getting together and making games, usually in the same kind of area, same room together. And this is global. So it happens at the same time over a weekend from Friday, like sort of midday to Sunday evening. And everyone just stays in the same room. Some people don't sleep. Some people stay over. And the thing is, this is something that people do for fun, and it's something that people do totally voluntarily when they want to. But at the end of that, 1 year, I was given a sticker that just said, I survived Global Game Jam. Mm-hmm. And that's kind of, I think, sort of at least gets across a little bit the kind of levels people are willing to go to because they're so, so passionate about this medium.
Yeah. And describe for me then the different roles and the different things that people are doing in games. You're a game writer yourself. What does that mean? Can you explain that and then explain the different roles that people have, the different jobs that they're doing?
Absolutely. I mean, there's such a vast array of different jobs that are involved and some that are given more attention than others too. So I'm a game writer and also a narrative designer to a certain extent as well. And that usually entails writing a lot of documents and spreadsheets, doing a lot of planning, character outlines, plot outlines, world building, designing things like the religion of a world or the kind of, commercial aspects or what a town's layout might be like. And then on top of that, more direct stuff like content production, like writing dialogue, writing quest descriptions and sometimes implementing that as well. And there's so many different roles across the industry. There's people that people usually think of. They think of programmers, which is a massively important aspect of the industry, very obviously. There's artists who create all the visual art for games. And that even those broken down, there's much more detailed titles for different roles. Like there's character artists and environmental artists and there's a million different kinds. And then there's things that people think of less, like producers who are massively important. Yeah. They do all organization, PR, they can be game directors. Yeah. There's people who work in sound, people who work in QA, like testing games. There's retail staff who work in places like GameStop that, in my opinion, are a part of the industry. They definitely are involved in that industry. And there's content creators online who need video games and work with developers to work together to get games and play them for audiences. There's so many different aspects to this industry.
I like how you described it once in an interview, Alan, where you said it's like the Game Workers United Ireland as a union is like a community of workers that are organised together. And I think, one of the things about that is when you look at all those different roles and those different jobs, it's all part of making an industry work and all part of making the sector work. Can you tell me a little bit then about the sector in Ireland, the game sector in Ireland? Because it's pretty new, right? It's a new enough section that's developed in the last number of years.
Relatively speaking, I mean, even globally, relatively speaking, games are sort of an emerging industry.
Yeah.
And definitely here, we have had peaks and troughs at different points where larger companies have come and larger companies have gone.
Yeah.
In this industry here, but it is growing at a massive rate. Yeah. There's a lot of bigger companies are here and they're growing constantly. There's smaller companies starting up, although that is quite difficult because there is, to an extent, a lack of available funds here for smaller companies, which is one of the issues that obviously we want to deal with in Game Workers Unite Ireland. And there's a lot of young people studying game design in Dublin as well who are very soon, and they're very educated, very passionate people with a different perspective, I think, than other countries too on art and culture and creativity and tech and innovation. And they have their own background and they're young, educated, talented people that are coming into this industry now here. And I feel like we, to a certain extent, we owe those people a sustainable, healthy, working growing industry in this country.
That's healthy for people to work in, as you say, and that, you know, is productive. And in terms of that, if you bring it on then to Game Workers Unite Ireland, what is, if you were to describe that to somebody who wasn't familiar with it, what is Game Workers Unite Ireland?
So Game Workers Unite Ireland is officially a trade union of people who are officially organised. But I think a really important way of looking at this is that it's a community of people.
Yeah.
We've had a community here of workers for quite a while, but never officially organised as a group, never officially with goals and things we want to achieve together and directly support each other.
Yeah.
And also because we want to provide each other with our expertise, our information, our experience, our perspectives. And this is something that facilitates that, I think, in a pretty great way. And since we've announced and kind of launched this union, we have had an unexpected amount of positive support.
Which is
an
great.
Unexpected amount of people joining and of people wanting to be directly involved in running it. I'm actually really, like, in a positive way, taken aback by like the sheer amount of positive support that we've got.
And people want to be involved, and they're obviously, you know, they're coming forward, which is fantastic. And it's part of the Game Workers Unite International, so obviously it's a chapter of that.
Yeah, Game Workers Unite has done unbelievably amazing work, and has been seen and heard by like so many people. Almost every game developer will have heard of Game Workers Unite at this point. They have massive amounts of attention given to them. They were talked about at the Independent Game Festival Awards, the IGF Awards, at GDC, Game Developers Conference, this last year as well. And there was a lot of people, larger figures in the game industry on stage receiving awards, giving awards, talking about unionizing, because it's just a massive thing that's at the forefront of people's minds this year, but I think in the industry lately, for the last couple of years, actually, in general. And Game Workers Unite have done some amazing stuff. And it's really, really actually, it's mostly providing a network of smaller, like I said, local grassroots movements of people organising who all know each other and who all want to support each other.
And I want to talk to you in a moment about some of the issues that you're organising on and some of the issues that are important for people who are part of Game Workers Unite Ireland. But before we do that, can you tell me a little bit about, there's a number of been pretty prominent controversies in the last number of years involving games. We had Gamergate, and we discussed it on a previous podcast with Declan Peach from the Game Workers in the UK about that and what that meant. Can you maybe just tease out some of those big issues that have really exploded and have been really to the fore of the discussion and the conversation around people working in games?
Yeah, so I think an interesting thing that draws people's attention to some of these larger issues is that it just really well illustrates the complexity of this industry and the kind of weird, kind of different aspects and overlapping Venn diagram kind of nature of this industry. So people in the industry are gamers and they also make games, and they're working in tech and they're also working in arts and media and culture. And it's just, it's an odd kind of in between sort of industry that creates some of the most amazing pieces of media that I've ever experienced personally. And some of the larger issues, I think, illustrate that. So you mentioned Gamergate, which is extremely complicated and probably not something I can get too detailed into in this podcast, but it shows games as this kind of central kind of almost arena in which this kind of discussion happens between very right-wing, very left-wing groups of people, and kind of illustrates a couple of issues that developers face in the industry, like gamers, certain groups of gamers can be fairly entitled audiences. Not all of them at all, by any means, but some of them are a vocal minority, and developers can deal with a lot of abuse online. They can suffer like labor results of that kind of abuse and harassment. One example that we saw a while ago was the firing of, I think her name is Jessica Price from ArenaNet, who was one of the narrative designers on Guild Wars, if I'm correct. Might be wrong about that. But she was on Twitter having an argument essentially with someone who was, oversimplifying here for the sake of getting a point across, explaining her job to her.
Yeah.
And she argued with that person on Twitter, which is something you could debate is a good idea or not, but she was immediately fired. And so were other people in her office who had supported her vocally on Twitter. And there was no opportunity for her to have a conversation with her employers about that. And I think that that's an issue that relates directly to some of the larger controversies like Gamergate that we saw, which was basically a harassment hate movement against female game developers in the industry and developers of colour as well, and LGBT developers. And then again, recently we saw kind of gaming's sort of Me Too movement, which I'm reluctant to call it that, because I don't think it should be like a once-off occurrence. I think this is just an increase in openness in the industry is something that we really want to see. But a couple of developers, including Natalie Lawhead and Zoe Quinn, who was one of the targets of Gamergate originally, came out to talk about their own experiences of abuse from other developers. And that is an issue that we have to deal with. So the combination of like abusive fans and gamers in like a very public space that we have to deal with social media now as well. And yeah, that brings up a lot of questions about what someone's requirements are in their job. And then on top of that, you know, developer relations between different developers in a work environment as well is an important issue. And then more directly associated with this is things like Blizzard in 2018 having in a memo put out to their shareholders talking about the fact that it was their most successful financial year that the company has ever had. And in the same year, they fired 800 workers. Yeah. In a company that kind of often put itself across when hiring as a place to have a career, yeah, a place to grow and a place to move up a ladder and a place to have a family of people. They give you like a, I think it's a silver sword when you've done like 20 years with them or 30 years with them. And I think it hurt a lot of people's trust in the industry overall, and especially in larger companies. And a lot of people are talking about being less willing to work with those companies now because they're just less reliably going to employ them in the future. And I think all of these really public controversies, and there's many more we could talk about, but all of these really public controversies, I think, illustrate different issues that overlap,
yeah,
between general things that developers have to face and then things that that unions can help developers with, yeah, and help employers with, help set standards for, yeah, you know, for creating environment, working good, healthy, sustainable work environments.
I'm interested, Ellen, in the charter that Game Workers Unite Ireland have set out, because I think you cover some of those issues in it. And, you know, I see in the charter that anyone who agrees with what you're saying in the charter can be a member of Game Workers Unite Ireland. But can you maybe just describe for me what some of the issues that people are coming forward to Game Workers Unite Ireland with? What are the issues on their minds? Is it pay? Is it contracts? Is it development of the industry? What's to the fore of people's concerns?
Yeah, so we put out a survey recently, and we've had, at this point, it must be over, like it's over, I think, 160, around that number of responses, over that amount of responses. And at the same time, I've obviously, because I've been sort of public, yeah, about this, I've been contacted by a lot of people. Some people, sure, I've never talked to before, some people I've known for years,
yeah,
about their own personal issues in the industry. And I've seen a lot of stuff repeat, and I've heard a lot of stuff for the first time. And it's some really difficult stuff, yeah, to hear. I've heard of people who have had precarious contracts with companies. I've heard of people who are being paid like minimum wage or sometimes less than minimum wage,
yeah,
sometimes nothing for unpaid internships.
Yeah.
And then also you hear a lot about crunch work in, yeah, the industry, which is essentially people working over 40, sometimes 50, 60 hours a week,
yeah,
often uncompensated, and either encouraged or planned work, which is insane. And we also hear a lot about discrimination, about harassment in work environments. It's, yeah, there's a lot of issues that we want to be able to come together to talk about, help each other with, and get real legal advice and, excellent, representation as well. And yeah.
And in terms of getting involved then, if one is interested in getting involved in Games Workers Unite Ireland, how do they go about doing that?
Oh, there's so many places. So we have a Facebook account, which is Game Workers Unite Ireland. We have a Twitter account, which is at GWU Ireland. We have our website, which is gameworkersunitegwireland.org. And,
excellent,
you can fill out our survey there, which gives us a really solid grounding of information on which we can base our work. You can check out our charter and you can join. There's a join link on our website that you can go and check out right now. And also feel free to message me. I'm at FMRellen on Twitter, and you can come to my Facebook page. You can send me a message or chat,
excellent,
with me if you see me at any meetings or in so gamer meetups in Dublin.
It's very much open, and it's starting to happen, and it's very exciting, I have to say. And I mean, you know, you might have a view on this element, but my take on it, for what it's worth, is that there's been an upswing of interest from people in trade unions generally. There's more people coming forward, getting involved and organising with one another. Is my observation, do you think, correct? Am I on the right road there?
Absolutely. I mean, even in the game industry, there was a shocking turn. Like, you know, you went from kind of the focus being solely on creating games, for which there's still a massive involvement and association. But people are starting to become more self-aware and starting to realise that this has to be sustainable.
Yeah.
At the end of the day, I think everyone, like workers, employers, companies, you know, small freelance individuals, we all want a sustainable industry here, yeah. An industry that's well-funded. We want to increase funding from the government for smaller yeah. companies and larger companies.
Yeah.
And we all want to create an industry that's going to stick around for a really long time and produce some really amazing pieces of art and tech. And I think that's what we all want to see.
Absolutely. And thank you very, very much for joining us today on the Office Block podcast. It's been a pleasure to have you. I hope we can have you back again, maybe discuss more of these issues again.
Yeah.
And thank you for being here. It's been really excellent.
That's been great to be here. Thanks very much for having me, Paul.
So thanks, as always, to our listeners. Thanks to everyone at Headstuff. Thanks to the Financial Services Union. If you're interested, you can follow us, of course, at the OB Tweets on Twitter. Make sure to like us on Facebook at the Office Block. So thanks for listening, and talk to you again.